Hey, yo, it's Wrestling Uncensored. We just watched SmackDown. We're watching AEW Rampage. We're doing it big. It's Halloween. Let's go! Hey, yo. John, did you not get the memo?
Oh, I don't think you got my message, where I'm like, I'm not doing any costumes. You guys can dress up like idiots, but I won't.
Come on, man. You know who I am? Jonasis? Huh? Do you know who I am, Jonasis?
See, that's better. When you do the voice, if you don't do the voice, it's like, it's not good cosplay.
Let me tell you something, Jonasis. Get with the green.
Well, you can, but I won't.
Oh, I always get with the green. You know I love the Phantom. The problem is, shout out to Green Phantom. I'm rocking his shirt. I'm dressed as Green Phantom. The problem is I can't drink coffee in this, and it's kind of hard to tell where the microphone is. I'm trying to watch the show, and it's hard to see what's going on. I don't know how he wrestles in one of these things. How do you wrestle in a mask? I could barely do a show in a mask. I'm going to take this thing off, John, because you didn't get into the spirit. Yesterday I was dressed as Yoshi. All right, I'm back.
Whew. You can breathe?
Yeah, it's like hot under there. It's hard to breathe. It's not easy. Shout out to Green Phantom. We love Green Phantom, but I can't stay dressed as Green Phantom the whole time. But, you know, I was Yoshi yesterday. AJ was Khabib. We got all sorts of Halloween costumes. It's Halloween week here on Ringside Report MMA, Ringside Report Network, Ringside Report, Wrestling Uncensored, all the things, you know, we're celebrating Halloween. Johnny North doesn't want to get in the spirit.
Correct.
Why not? You don't like Halloween? What's the matter? I know you don't like candy. You're too jacked for candy.
Yeah, not a big candy guy. It's not a real holiday, too. I mean, you never got a day off for that.
Oh, it's better. You get free candy. You didn't like candy even when you were a kid, before you were a bodybuilder? As a child, you must have liked Halloween, no?
Little things here and there, but not that much, really.
How can you go wrong with free candy? All you got to do is the legwork. Thought that was easy. It's great, John. You know, you work off the candy before you do it. Get your exercise in, get your cardio in for the candy, and then you eat candy. Come on, John. You didn't trick or treat as a kid?
Yeah, but, you know, that was a lifetime ago, it feels like now, so.
Well, we're in the Halloween spirit. Like, it's a real holiday.
Well, enjoy. You know, it helps you have a child, so.
Yeah.
You kind of get rejuvenated in a sense for it.
I was rejuvenated, then I was rejuvenated again. I was rejuvenated. We got Bryan Danielson and Eddie Kingston doing battle right now on AEW Rampage. That's the match tonight. That's the big one. SmackDown was a snoozer. Shout out to Silent by Deadly. Shout out to Michael Lehrer. Just subscribing to the channel. Don't forget to subscribe. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. Do all the things. We are here for you. Hit us up on Super Chat. Support the Ringside Report Network. Join the channel. Go to join.ringsidereport.net. However you do it, support the channel. We appreciate you. SmackDown was so boring tonight. My goodness. Nothing happened.
Well, there's no Roman Reigns. No Roman Reigns. It's going to hurt the show.
He wasn't really the main part that was missing, I think. It was action. Entertainment. Some sort of progression of a story in some way. The only thing that really changed tonight was Kofi Kingston is now Sir Kofi. King Woods has dubbed Kofi Sir Kofi. And they've got new gear and they look fantastic. That's all that happened tonight. The main event was the New Day versus the Usos. Woods gets the pinfall on Kofi. Gets a pinfall on one of the Usos. I don't even know which one. Jimmy, Jay.
I think it was Jay.
Yeah. He pins Jay, and New Day wins. The match was all right, But that was the main event of SmackDown, a match that we've seen a million times before. It had nothing on the line. I guess New Day has defeated now the tag team champion, so that maybe they deserve a tag team title shot. It was rough.
I thought the crowd was pretty dead for that match. Like, for a New Day Usos match, you'd expect the crowd to be more alive, and it's the main event as well. I just felt like they didn't seem to care, or they were falling asleep for whatever reason.
Why would they care? Antoinette pointing out, Antoinette, member of the team, she says, it was so boring, I turned to watch baseball. When wrestling is so boring that you start watching baseball, you know something's wrong. I mean, it is the World Series, but it's the Astros and Braves, I think. I mean, who cares? Outside of Houston and Atlanta, maybe Vegas, but.
Well, I think you just hold a grudge against Houston for
being cheaters.
I guess stealing a World Series. Yeah, yeah. I guess they steal the World Series. But.
Yeah. But also, it's not like a big market team. It's not the Red Sox and the Dodgers. You know what I mean? It's the Astros and the Braves. It's not marquee.
Well, the Braves at one point were kind of a big deal.
All right, John, I don't think it's the point. I think the point is SmackDown was boring. I don't think we're here to debate whether or not the Atlanta Braves are a big market baseball franchise. Because quite frankly, I don't give a shit, John. You're getting me all fucking mixed up and angry
flustered.
Over here. Yeah, I'm flustered with your bullshit. Starting early with me here, goddammit.
Be a long night.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep this short and sweet, John. Because nothing happened on SmackDown. Like, I'm coming on here. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing happened. They did get Xavier Woods over as the leader of that tag team, right? Woods, Kofi was the one taking all the heat. He took the beating from the Usos. It was Kofi taking a beating. Woods getting the hot tag. Woods getting the pinfall. This was to establish Woods as a strength. Woods is the strong guy in the team, and Kofi is his second. That's what we established tonight. We also established that the New Day beat the Usos, so potentially they could face them for the tag team titles down the road. They did beat them. The Usos are the champions. This is a non-title match. You figure it's going to happen. But other than that, who cares?
Well, not only that, it felt like Woods, when he had the offense, he had his shine. Like, it wasn't really that impressive. It didn't help that the crowd didn't care at all, so it really seemed like no one really is interested in seeing Xavier Woods as like a top guy. And that's on SmackDown for it to end like that. It's kind of a wimpy kind of finish too, where it's just like a roll up out of nowhere. Like the faces kind of weasel their way to a win. Like it didn't look like a very, it wasn't, in my opinion, a very clean finish for a face team to win like that.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of a clever little way to finish the match. I didn't hate the finish, but I get what you're saying. They didn't hit a finisher. It wasn't like a conclusive finish. Nevertheless, they won. They didn't cheat to win.
Well, he didn't look strong is the main thing. Like Xavier, you think like they're trying to push him as like a big guy, and to win like that, it's not a very strong way to win.
I think the Bryan Danielson, Eddie Kingston match is over. Bryan Danielson seems to have choked Eddie Kingston out with a triangle, I think. They're both down on the mat. They both look unconscious. But I think the match is over. I think Bryan has won. The match looked good from what I saw, but it was hard to see because the stupid TSN app wasn't working for me, so I missed like a few minutes of the match. The app is terrible. Barely works.
Well, Bryan won, but doesn't look like he won because, man, is his chest red. Like, I think he's bleeding from his chest, to be honest.
Yeah. What did he take, a bunch of chops?
Oh, he took a whole bunch of chops. Kicks, a lot of strikes. A lot of kicks, too, actually, as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one thing you can say about Kingston. Like, he may not be the best wrestler, but he definitely can nail you pretty hard.
And that's something that you've seen from Bryan Danielson in a lot of his matches. He's like, just hit my chest really, really hard. Make me look all bloodied and battered. It's something that he's done a lot. You know, he knows that There's only so much that his head and neck can take because he's had serious injuries there. So, you know, hit the chest. It's something that you can hit, and you can hit him hard there. So, you know, Bryan Danielson is the best. Another good match from Bryan Danielson. I didn't see much of it, but I'm comfortable calling it match of the night after what we saw on SmackDown tonight. I think it beat anything.
I agree with you on that one.
Right? Like, what happened on SmackDown? Nothing happened. We had the New Day, New Day and Uso stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Antoinette dropping a super chat. She says,
she's right.
She says, happy Halloween and no more SmackDown without Roman. I mean, it did feel like they were phoning it in. Why wasn't Roman there? And last week I told you that SmackDown tonight would be taped, but it wasn't taped. It was initially thought that it was going to be taped. But then they changed it, and they actually, this was live tonight in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun. They just wound up doing it there because initially it was supposed to be somewhere else, and then it got canceled due to COVID something, and then they were going to do a double taping in Wichita last week, but then I think they realized, like, you can't go to Saudi Arabia on Thursday, come back and do a double taping of SmackDown on Friday. It's just terrible. So they got the show at the Mohegan Sun tonight. So it was a live show, which last week I wasn't sure, but then I looked into it and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, it is live. But at first they were going to do a double taping, which I thought was ill-advised, but they were in a bad spot there when the show got canceled. But they were able to find a different venue for tonight. So you can't really give them an excuse, really. You can't say, oh, well... they had to phone it in tonight because it was a double shot of last week. That's not what it was. This is a brand new show, live show. Where was Roman? I guess Roman is just getting a night off. Night off for Roman Reigns. Maybe he's a little banged up and tired from the Brock Lesnar match and the trip to Saudi Arabia.
There's that. Aren't they doing like a UK tour right now? Has that started?
Well, I could tell you in a second here. I don't know. I did see Walter and Cesaro are going to be wrestling on that UK tour on like four shows, which is incredible. Like, could we get that on TV somewhere?
You'll probably see it one day. You know, like, that's the great thing about house shows. It's just a lot of the matches are practices for eventually television. So you'll see it somewhere pop up, I'm sure.
The WWE has not left for England yet. They will be in England next week. Brighton on November 3rd, Sheffield on the 4th, Birmingham, England on the 5th, London next Saturday, November 6th, Liverpool on the 7th, Leeds on the Monday the 8th. That will be a SmackDown tour because at the same time as WWE in Leeds, we will have Raw in Louisville, Kentucky. And the team continues. Nottingham, England on November 9th, Manchester on the 10th, and then they are back in the United States in Norfolk, Virginia on November 12th. I'm not really sure. Maybe the tour starts out Raw and ends SmackDown? I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's probably a mixed, because it's a WWE Super Show in London, right? So that's Raw and SmackDown. So all of the WWE at some point, most of the crew is going to be going down to England next week at some point, because they've got Brighton and then Sheffield, and then they'll be in Evansville, Indiana, next Friday for SmackDown. So that can't be the SmackDown crew in Sheffield, England next Thursday, right? That's got to be the Raw crew. Raw in Providence on Monday, and then November 3rd, probably the Raw crew in Brighton, the Raw crew in Sheffield. SmackDown crew is going to be in Evansville, Indiana. And then I guess maybe the Raw crew, of course, the same night in Birmingham, I want to say Alabama, but of course England. And then on Saturday the 6th, the SmackDown crew probably goes over because it's the Super Show in London. Right? Super Show in London, Saturday the 6th. So that's when the SmackDown crew will join the Raw crew over in England. So that's happening next week, John. Not yet, but
big week coming up.
Yeah, big week next week for the whole roster going all over England. Like they're
not there
crossing.
Yet,
they're going through the whole country next week, everywhere next week and the week after. It's over a couple of weeks, like a week and a half. They're spending there,
and they're going to use Roman Reigns a lot for that. So, you know, give him a little bit of a break. I think he's definitely earned that without question. So,
yeah,
no problem with that.
Yeah, he's been working a lot.
Did you see the whole CM Punk and Eddie Kingston confrontation right there?
No.
I didn't hear it, but it happened.
There was a confrontation?
Yep. I don't know. Nothing really happened. Just a lot of words said, and then people got in the way of it. But maybe that's the pay-per-view match for Punk.
Punk keeps getting Brian's leftovers. Brian beats Bobby Fish. Punk wrestles Bobby Fish.
Yep.
Brian beats Eddie Kingston. Punk wrestles Eddie Kingston. He's just kind of playing catch-up with Brian.
Well, I have to say, though, I'm more interested to see that match than I was to see him and Brian. Like, it was all right, but I think there's a better story to be told with Punk and Kingston, I think.
Why?
Just in terms of the promos back and forth. I think what you saw on Dynamite, it's like they really didn't have much to say against each other.
Yeah, but match-wise, Punk, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's all about how you sell a match.
I guess, but just telling me that you would rather see a guy wrestle CM Punk than Bryan Danielson, I just rather watch Bryan Danielson over anybody, so that's just me. Harold Schneider dropping a super chat. Thank you, Harold. Huh?
The styles of wrestling, too. I just think it's a better styles match for Punk than it was for Brian. This was actually a battle for Brian to go against his style. It's not really in his favor.
Yeah, I guess. Either way, Punk and Eddie Kingston at the pay-per-view is, decent. I don't hate that. Antoinette says she was upset that she's going to the Super Show in the house show in Toronto, and she's mad there was no Roman Reigns because it's going to be a Raw show in Toronto. The Raw house show in Toronto. I think it's the day before the Raw house show here in Montreal that I'll be taking my son to. I'll be going to that show, and that's a Raw show. I don't mind not seeing Roman. I really don't mind at all. Kevin Owens is on Raw. We're going to see him. We're going to see Big Time Bex. I paid to see Big Time Bex. Bianca Belair and Big E.
They've announced two matches already for that. So far, as long as things stay the way they are, you're going to get your wish.
Yeah, Becky and Bianca and Big E versus Bobby, which will be fun. That'll be a fun show in December on the 30th here in Laval. I'll be going to that, seeing the old WWE. It's been a while. Always fun. Nice holiday show for the kids. Charlotte Flair, always for the children. Cuts an in-ring promo talking about being the champ. How she's the most decorated woman in sports entertainment history. Charlotte Flair opens the show. You were excited. What's Charlotte going to say? What's she going to do? All the controversy last week with Becky Lynch, what's going to happen, and nothing really. Just, same old shit. Champion, best, Charlotte, Everybody, I liked when she said all the other wrestlers, they get all excited when they win the titles, like, oh my God, I can't believe I won, but for Charlotte, it's just another Friday night. I thought that was good. Good line from Charlotte.
What? It's good because it's true, right?
Yeah.
You believe that.
I know. That's it. It was good. But that was the only kind of bit of truth that Charlotte really brought out there. Decorated woman and all that stuff. But she didn't say anything about Becky. She didn't say anything about the title switch. She didn't say anything really that edgy, which you were kind of hoping for after what happened last week or what allegedly happened last week. Right? Weren't you expecting or hoping for, okay, Charlotte Flair is going to come out, start SmackDown. Let's see her cut this pipe bomb promo. Let's see something. And really, there was nothing. Just an average promo from Charlotte. Like, nothing happened last week.
Well, it's really too bad. I think they had something. They could have taken advantage of it, and they kind of just decided to pass over it and just go with what they had. And what they have actually is good compared to what they got last week. I think that was really the story to go with. Not this whole, like, Sasha, Charlotte, like, Sasha wants a title shot, but we're not going to give it to you. We're going to have somebody else, someone new. And for whatever reason, Sasha's okay with that and is in the corner. That didn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
And in the end, Sasha's the face. Like,
yeah.
Wow. They're really trying with stuff here. I don't know if it really is working, but they're trying.
Ugh, I didn't like it at all. It didn't make any kind of sense. Charlotte Flair talks for a while, and Sasha Banks shows up and says, Charlotte, you only care about yourself, and how about giving me a title shot? I'm Sasha Banks. I'm the boss. And Charlotte says, well, I've given you so many chances, Sasha, and you always lose. It's time for somebody else to get a shot. Shotzi Blackheart comes out in her little tank, and she's like, I've never faced you, Charlotte. Let's have a wrestling match. And Charlotte's like, all right. Sounds good. And Sasha Banks is, yeah, you know, as Johnny says, totally fine with that. And the match was not good. It was really awkward. Shotzi is bad? I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of her. But tonight, I would deem her bad. That suicide dive there she did through the rope. She got caught on the rope. She almost killed herself. She fell like face first. Charlotte basically saved her life. Kind of catching her underneath and just saving her from face planting. That's not good. You're on international television, and you have a very obvious, near fatal botch in what is the biggest match of your career up until this point. This was Shotzi's big shot. They do a big angle with her and Sasha Banks after the match. She attacks Sasha. Sasha comes in, and because Sasha got on the apron at one point to try and distract Charlotte, I think. Instead, Shotzi was distracted by Sasha. Charlotte hit not natural selection on Shotzi for the pinfall and the victory. And then Shotzi was down and out. Sasha came in to console her, and Shotzi attacked Sasha for quite a while. I was like, all right, you've attacked her, you've made her point. And then it just kept going. Just dragged out for too long. And just strange booking, bringing in Shotzi as what you expect to be a new babyface. Got like a decent reaction from the crowd. I'm not sure how you're a heel in that goofy-ass tank. Like, I don't know what you are other than a comedy gimmick for children. But she comes out in a tank, and now she's expected to be like a mean heel in a children's toy. You would think they debut this new babyface, and they're like, hey, let's, make her a babyface. Charlotte's the heel champion. Let's, make Shotzi a challenger other than Sasha. But no. Instead, right, they make Shotzi a shitty heel. She can't beat Charlotte. And she attacks Sasha when Sasha's not expecting it. So Shotzi will just be somebody for Sasha to beat? Also, I don't want to have to say Sasha and Shotzi that often together. It's confusing. Shashi and Shotzi and It's too much. It's too much.
Well, to me, what really stood out in this match was how there's a huge size difference. Like, Charlotte is just so much bigger than most of the competition, and, like, it's really stood out, I thought, in this match. Like, Shotzi seems like she's really small, and if she's going to be, like, competitive against Charlotte, she's got to hit a lot more impactful moves. Like, everything she hit, I think she hit her Karana that was kind of decent, but nothing really, like, something that you'd think, oh, though, it's going to take Charlotte down. Like, really, Charlotte... It's a nice Hurricane Rana, but that's not really going to keep you down. Like, maybe half a second at most, and then Charlotte should be getting up, and she kind of was on her knees anyways. Like, it's tough. And Shotzi, like, her strikes, they're awful. Like, they had to pan away from a lot of her strikes because they just weren't looking very good. Like, you laugh. It's just the facts. Like, this is the problem. I think they put her too much like in a tag team in NXT, and I don't think she had enough single matches. It's kind of like the whole like Roman Reigns thing. I think they saw potential here, but they didn't give her enough single matches to really let her swim on the main roster in singles competition.
What happened to Tegan Nox? Weren't they a tag team?
They split them up.
Why?
The draft happened.
Who's the number one contender for Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ass?
You have to watch Raw because isn't that really where it's going down right now? It
I do
like
watch
it's
Raw.
Going down.
There's no tag teams. They're there in backstage segments where they're like, you know, just kind of talking to other people as they walk by. That's all they do.
Well,
it's not good.
They gotta start making some teams or something because there's barely anything on SmackDown. For the women, so if anything's going to happen, it's going to have to happen on Raw. They're just going to put some people together randomly.
They got no teams.
I mean, that's the tag champs too, right?
They got no teams. They got the tag team champions, but that's about it, I think.
Well, it's not a deep division. But, I mean, it's not a deep division even singles way, so.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's it's not good. The tag team division right now, as far as the women, it's worse than the men. They split up all their teams. Aren't Natty and Tamina split up too? They were just tag team champions. They got split up. Shayna and Nia got split up. All their teams got split up. You're telling
me they broke up.
Shotzi and Tegan, yeah, they broke up. But like Natty and Tamina didn't need to break up.
No, you're right. I don't know why they did that. They had to break up all the tag teams. It's kind of ridiculous, but that's what they've done for whatever reason.
Yeah, they don't take care of that tag team division, especially the women's tag team division, but the men tag team divisions as well are just kind of a mess and aren't really paid attention to. But the women's at this point, like with Rhea and Nikki, it's probably at an all-time low. Especially after this draft when they broke up all the tag teams, I cannot tell you who is another tag team other than the champions right now. There are no women's tag teams in the WWE. They've all broken up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know about you, but just if you look back the last couple of years, they've kind of really declined the women's division just as a whole. Like, I remember... Like, remember when it was, like, Charlotte against Asuka at WrestleMania, and you're like, wow, this is, like, kind of sold the show in a sense, you know? Like, and now it's, like, yeah, they can have some good matches here and there, but it's not, like, actually the most appealing thing to watch. It was at one point. And now it's, like, it's the thing I dread the most, actually, is the women matches.
Well, that's not fair, John. Wasn't there a great one a couple weeks ago? Didn't we have Becky and Sasha? Was that on Raw, maybe? You may have missed that.
That was on SmackDown. No, that was on SmackDown.
Okay, see?
That was great. Get it. It happens. But before, it used to be like frequently. Like now, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah, the women's divisions, I mean, they're strong, but they're not. Like the whole Sasha, Charlotte, Shotzi thing tonight. What the hell was that? You know, you introduced Shotzi. Is it though? How is that a legitimate attempt? You introduce Shotzi, she gets a babyface reaction, you turn her heel, in a match. Like, she turns heel right after she loses to the top heel. So she's clearly not a threat. Like, you don't do that. It doesn't make sense. Like, now you look at Shotzi and you're like, oh, well, Shotzi sucks. She's, like, bad, but, you know, Charlotte beat her, so she's not that bad. She's not that dangerous. She's not anybody to be messed with. She's not anybody to worry about. She's just Shotzi. Who cares? You know, you bury her in the one instance, and then you're like, ah, let's turn her heel. Well, you just had her lose to the top heel, so who the fuck is Shotzi? She's a nobody. She's Sasha Banks' next opponent. And if Shotzi beats Sasha, then where does that leave Sasha? Sasha has to beat Shotzi now. And I think she should, because I was not impressed with Shotzi at all. I want to like Shotzi, but I don't. I think that tank is kind of fun. I want one, but that's about it. That's where it ends.
It went off, but we didn't see where it went to, apparently. Apparently that wasn't important.
I don't know. Hit somebody in the crowd. Rest in peace. We'll see them later. Terrible. Terrible stuff.
Disappointed. It's a definitely huge disappointment after last week, where it felt like they had some momentum and they could have built off that, and they chose not to. So that's the real disappointment.
Charlotte was the hottest thing in pro wrestling over the past week. The Charlotte story was the story.
Mm-hmm.
She starts the show tonight, and all the momentum went away. With Shotzi.
Oh, this was forgettable.
Yeah. That's it. Now it's like, oh, yeah, didn't Charlotte have that thing? Yeah, whatever. Who cares? They're not leaning into it, obviously. They'll probably do Charlotte versus Becky at Survivor Series, and then maybe it'll get more interesting around then, but not tonight. Oh, it was terrible tonight. Adam Pearce cut a via satellite promo on Brock Lesnar, saying Brock Lesnar attacked the heart and soul of the company last week. Pearce kind of cutting a heel promo, talking about how hard he works for the WWE. He says, in addition to the suspension, he is going to fine Brock Lesnar $1 million. Just looking at that CM Punk, Eddie Kingston thing. Something's going on there with Punk and Kingston. They were jaw-jacking on AEW Rampage. Far more interesting than anything happening on SmackDown tonight. God damn, man. Adam Pearce says, fine Brock Lesnar $1 million. How about it, John? Shocking.
This was probably the best part of the show, was just Paul Heyman reacting to it. That's not saying much, to be honest. Like, Paul Heyman reacting, it shouldn't be the highlight of the show, but it was. Just him reacting, and then, like, how would Brock Lesnar feel about this? And him just kind of being, like, the old Brock Lesnar advocate. That was actually a bit of fun.
Yeah, he was saying Brock would come to SmackDown and conquer and da-da-da. He was, like, cutting a promo for Brock. And then he's like, oh, but I haven't spoken to Brock. That was the highlight for you?
I mean, if you look at everything else on the show, I think without question it was.
I think it was Naomi botching the springboard for me. She just fell on her face. That was a highlight.
To be honest, I feel like that's happened before. Like, I'm not surprised by that. I feel like that was almost planned that she botched it, because it's what happens.
I don't think it was planned. Was it planned?
No.
It didn't look planned. I like seeing her slip off the top rope and fall right in her face. That was my highlight, because it was funny. The rest of the show was garbage. Really bad show tonight. Like really bad SmackDown. And this was truly, like, the new SmackDown, right? Last week they said season premiere, but Becky Lynch was on the show. She's still on Raw now. You know, it's like, this is the real SmackDown roster. This is what they're showing you. This is, hey, let's debut a new character, Shotzi Blackheart. How did that go? This is the new SmackDown, what we saw tonight, and it was trash. Trash. Adam Pearce, heel authority figure. Drew McIntyre, open challenge. Answered by Mustafa Ali. Drew beats Mustafa with a Kimura lock submission. A move that Brock Lesnar used to use as a finisher. Now being used by Drew McIntyre, the Kimura. Terrible looking Kimura too by Drew. Just awful. His grip.
Well, he just grabbed the arm and he just tapped right away. It was like, he didn't even really lock it in at all. Like,
there was no grip. There was no guard or half guard or anything. There was the leg positioning and the arm, the grip was all wrong. It wasn't a Kimura. It wasn't.
They called it that. So
yeah, they called it that. It looked like it was an attempt on a Kimura by a guy who's never done a Kimura in his life. Just seen it on TV. Like, it was crazy. It was so ugly.
And I think he's going to keep using that.
Ugh.
I think that's the start of him using that, like, going forward now.
That kick finish is the best thing about him.
Yeah, but I think he realizes that it's gotten stale a bit, so he's got to change it up. Like, I understand that idea, but yeah, you got to have you should have different finishes. I mean, look at Bryan Danielson. Like, every match he's had in AEW, he's changed it differently, you know, so.
Yeah, but he knows how to apply a Kimura.
Well, he knows how to apply submissions, period. Like,
that's right.
Help, yeah. But I'm just saying the idea, though.
You see who he was rolling with in Boston last week? You see?
Some screens now.
Don't worry about it. You see how you see who was rolling with Bryan Danielson last week?
No, I didn't see it.
Joe Lozon.
What happened?
He was out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's rolling cool. With Joe Lozon. He posted pictures on his Instagram. Bryan Danielson is legitimate. He knows how to grapple. Unlike Drew McIntyre, obviously. You never taken a jiu-jitsu class in your life, Drew McIntyre? What's going on, man? That was a real ugly Kimura. And then, so after Mustafa tapped to the whatever it was, Drew leaves, and Mustafa cuts a promo and says, "The only reason you people are rooting for me is because my name is Mustafa Ali." So he's saying, like, the people are racist because they don't like his name because it's Mustafa Ali. And that's why they're rooting against him. Or maybe he's saying, "I'm going to change my name to, like, Hank Williams and come out as Hank Smith or whatever. I am Henry Smith. I am no longer Mustafa Ali. Cheer for me." And they still boo him, you know, so it'll prove the opposite point that the people aren't racist. It's just they don't like Mustafa. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but I think it's real dumb. I don't care. And it's just playing on, you know, his culture and ethnicity and that type of story is unnecessary at this point. I don't know why we have to go back to that.
As long as it doesn't lead to another, like, retribution kind of angle, because that really didn't help whatsoever. It was kind of cool for like a week or two, and that was about it. That fizzled like very quickly, and we don't need to do that again.
Is there any chance Mustafa Ali is saying, you know, you don't like me because my name is Mustafa Ali, and he goes full Kerwin White? Different look, golf attire, you know, when Chavo became Kerwin White?
I think that's a terrible idea. We don't need to do that. It was a bad idea in the first place, so.
Yeah.
Don't do that at all.
I think he should just call himself Kerwin White, and he should ask Dolph Ziggler to come out and be his assistant. And just, I think that would be pretty good, actually. I think it would be better than whatever the fuck they're doing right now. If Mustafa Ali decided, "I want to be Kerwin White. You'll like me if I'm Kerwin White," and people would be like, "Guy already tried that." Yeah, but it didn't really work, you know, because his uncle died and then they turned him back to Chavo and they capitalized on his name. But nobody wants to use my name, so let's just call me Kerwin White. I think it's a good idea.
Kind of like what Isn't this kind of like what Apollo Crews was doing, saying like, oh, it's because of his name that people don't like him, or no, I have to represent my true heritage kind of thing? Like, isn't it somewhat like that?
What happened to that guy?
I think he got moved to Raw, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure he got moved to Raw.
Did he? I don't know.
If you look at it, a lot of SmackDown just went to Raw.
SmackDown, my man, I cannot say enough terrible things about SmackDown tonight. I mean, Hit Row.
They didn't do much, really. Like, they're just in the background.
It was so bad, though. The singing with the New Day and stuff, it was so bad. And then when you come back to the ring and McAfee is singing the thing that Hit Row was singing, oh, I think I threw up. So cringy.
Okay, I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, I hated it. I hated it. I don't like Hit Row. I should like Hit Row. But, you know, it's making the band. Like I said last week, it's not authentic. It doesn't feel real. Just because you're into hip-hop culture doesn't make you cool. You know what I mean? Just because you say words doesn't mean you have flavor. Hit Row doesn't have that special sauce. They're corny, you know? There's a lot of rappers out there that look like rappers, that rap, and kind of sound like rappers, but if you sit down and you actually listen to them, you don't want to listen to them. That's what Hit Row reminds me of. Just like the corniest, shittiest rappers you've ever heard put together in a stupid group. And the promos are just nauseating. Maybe they're better in the ring. I know Swerve is better in the ring. I haven't seen the rest of them. Swerve is good. I like him. The rest of them, I don't know. One of them was on that Hidden Treasures show. So he's corny as fuck. Like, come on. Come on, man. Like, he's one guy on that Hidden Treasures show. He's super fan, big nerd. Oh, hey, guys. Crying, getting all. Now here he's like, yeah, what's up? And I'm like, come on, man. You can't be, like, tough guy here and little bitch on the fucking other show. We've seen you. We know who you really are. Whatever the top dollar or whatever his name is. You can't be the little bitch on Hidden Treasures and then come to be Mr. Cool Gangster on SmackDown. We don't believe you. You need more people. Fucking terrible. Top dollar. Hopefully he can wrestle. But my God. I don't like Hit Row. I'll tell you, I wish they were better.
Wow. I won't deny it. I don't think we've seen enough of them to really get a really good, fair opinion on them. But, yeah, I mean, it hasn't been so far. I won't deny that. But, again, we got to see more, I think. It's not enough of a sample size.
I've seen enough, I think. I'm done with them. I'm done with them. It's
well,
like,
I can understand.
It's like the worst version of the Street Profits, Primetime Players, Crime Time that you've ever found, you know? They're like the shitty version of that. WWE is insistent on doing that type of gimmick with these people. Constantly, just over the years, just same gimmick, just repackaged, because, hey, it's two black guys, or now it's four, you know, three black guys and a black girl, so let's do this gimmick. And it's just the same gimmick over and over again. And some people have done it way better than others. And this Hit Row is like not as good. Oh my God. What happened to Britt Baker and Abaddon? They tried to go through a table and then just fell off of it. Oh no. Oh no. Britt tried to suplex her through and it didn't work. I am the table. Like there's serious I am the table going on right now. In this Britt Baker Abaddon match, they are struggling to put each other through a table. Twice they have failed. Britt just went to vertical suplex or through it. You're going to see it, John. You're probably a few seconds behind here. Just mm-hmm. wait till you see her try to put her through the table again, and it just doesn't work. Why?
I see them getting ready for it right now. It's coming up.
Yeah, it's bad.
Getting there.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, I don't mind tables not breaking. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean,
sometimes it's bad. Yeah, but when it's a clear intention and then it doesn't work, it's kind of bad. I don't know, man.
Well,
there are some moments it has to break, right? I don't want to go on and on about Hit Row. I just think that they're weak. The promo is weak. I don't believe it. I don't believe in the gimmick.
You know, it looked like that really hurt Britt a lot more than hurt Abaddon. Because, like, Britt took so much of that on her back. But again, like, I don't mind seeing that. Like, that looked like it killed more than it not breaking. So it looked more devastating. It was more real. See, now they're going for the suplex. That was the bad idea. Yeah. The suplex was the bad, bad idea.
Yeah, you see that now. Oh, you're way behind.
Yeah.
Oh, God! oh, my God!
But the apron thing was fine, though. The first thing, that was fine. That was great.
Britt just took a Uranagi into thumbtacks. They're rolling around in thumbtacks at this point.
Well, this is a street fight.
Yeah, but thumbtacks? Britt just got Uranagi'd, boom, into a bed of thumbtacks. Good.
She's supposed to be hardcore, right? Like,
wow. Well, Britt Baker is hardcore.
Can't live up to that name.
I like Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. I thought their promo was good. I mean, we saw two of the greatest tag teams of all time tonight. I think the New Day is probably the greatest tag team of all time. You look at their accolades, look at all three members, what they've done. I think at this point you could call them the greatest tag team of all time. And then the Usos, they are, you know, their main feud. You can't really tell the story of the New Day without telling the story of the Usos as well. So I thought
we said this was the worst.
The promo
Usos
was good.
New Day match ever.
Well, the match wasn't great. I mean, I don't think it was. Maybe it was the worst, but it wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't that great. It was just nothing special.
Oh. For what they've done, what they've accomplished, the level they're at right now, I would say it's the worst. I mean, there's just a higher level of expectations with them, and I just felt like it didn't deliver. It didn't help that the crowd was completely uninterested in the match, but you would think they would be with them.
This Britt Baker Abaddon match is crazy, man.
I'm surprised it's still going on, by the way. It's kind of a long match.
Man, Britt stuffed thumbtacks in Abaddon's mouth and then super kicked her face. And then went for the lockjaw, but then Abaddon bit her hand to escape. And now Britt's goons interfering, Hater in the ring attacking a bit. Hater gets dropped. Rebel on the apron. Britt rolls up Abaddon. 1, 2, 3. Britt beats Abaddon.
Well, rolls her up, though. I mean, they kind of still protected Abaddon in a sense. They didn't have her lose to the submission, which everyone else has.
That was a fun match. That was a violent match.
The chaos is good. Like, except for that suplex, that was really the only thing where it's like, yeah, they probably shouldn't have done that. But that neckbreaker thing they tried to do off the apron, that was fine.
Yeah, it was cool. The table didn't break, but they did the suplex because I think they wanted to break the table, right? Like, that suplex was like, okay, we didn't break the table there. Let's try to break the table with this suplex. And then when that doesn't work to break the table, it's like, okay, things are looking bad. It was a fun little episode of Rampage. Britt Baker beats Abaddon in the main event. Bryan Danielson beats Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston seems to start a little something with CM Punk. That 1 hour of Rampage, a little better than the 2 hours of SmackDown we saw. the Halloween match, Britt Baker versus Abaddon on Rampage, way better than the Halloween match that we saw on SmackDown. Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss beating Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura in a trick or street fight. Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo showed up in masks and hit Boogs with kendo sticks to help Moss and Corbin get the win.
Well, I'll say this for the SmackDown one, though. At least that one had pumpkins. Like, I didn't really see anything that was Halloween themed, besides, I guess, the fact that they had face paint on.
It was whatever. Yeah, okay. Come on, man. No. You got to go through the pumpkins. They didn't do shit with the pumpkins. They put a pumpkin on Nakamura's head at one point. Did anybody go through pumpkins?
They used the pumpkins on the outside. What's his name? Moss. Like, he bashed them. Or not Moss, but Boogs did that. He bashed them all with pumpkins. He broke a bunch of them.
Or he struck them with pumpkins.
And they smashed them. Like, they were broken afterwards.
Yeah, but I'm saying, he picked up a pumpkin and used it as a weapon, right?
And, like, used the pieces that were left and kept smashing them with it.
That's not the bump you're supposed to do in this match. The bump you're supposed to do in this match.
You should do.
What you're supposed to do in this match is line up a bed of pumpkins in the ring and put a motherfucker through those pumpkins. Then he gets all pumpkin-y.
I like the bowling ball.
No, the bowling ball is a stupid comedy spot. The good spot that looks painful is when you put a motherfucker through some pumpkins. Because the pumpkin's got the top of it that's hard, you know? You don't want
right.
to bump on that. And then you bump on a bunch
no,
of
you
them.
You don't want to bump on that.
Well, that's it. So you do it. Because it looks impressive. Because it's a street fight and there's supposed to be some goddamn violence. So when I watch these matches, I've seen it done before in these matches where guys go through pumpkins, get slammed, take a bump through the pumpkin. And they had tons of pumpkins around the ring, and Rick Boogs and Madcap Moss, these guys need to prove themselves. They're complete jabronis. They act like they're over and they're garbage. They could be fired tomorrow. They're worth jack shit in professional wrestling. Those motherfuckers needed to go through at least a dozen pumpkins each to earn some respect. Because right now, no one gives a fuck about those guys. Those guys suck. Rick Boogs should have gone through all the pumpkins around the ring. Same for Madcap Moss. Nakamura and Corbin, they're a little bit more protected. They're a little bit more well-known. Even Corbin should have taken way more shit than he did. Those guys are all garbage. Fucking trash. Moss and Boogs could be fired tomorrow easily. And you know what? You know what the wrestling world would say? Who? Who's Madcap Moss? That's what the wrestling world would say. And no one would be like, oh, I can't wait to see them in AEW. They'd be like, ah, maybe Impact will sign them, but probably not. You know, maybe Ring of Honor, a couple of dates if they're lucky, you know, because they're shit. Fuck those guys. Can't believe I had to watch those fucking idiots on SmackDown. Last week they had a thing. This week they have a fucking match. Boogs and Moss. Both of those guys are utterly useless. The 24/7 job mob ran through trying to chase Reginald. Boogs and Moss should have joined them. Just said, you know what? Nakamura and Corbin, you guys are real wrestlers. You finish this real match. We're going to go where we belong with the fucking job squad. Because that's what we are. Fucking catering attendees. Hoping that they don't get seen so they don't get fired. Please, Vince, don't look in my direction and remember you still pay me. Fucking outrageous.
Well, you're very upset today, obviously.
I just think those guys suck. Don't they suck? I'm sick of seeing them. I'm sick of hearing Pat McAfee, too. I don't know what was worse, that match or his commentary during that match. Pat McAfee made SmackDown so hard to watch. I heard Bruce Pritchard fucking talk about how great Pat McAfee is. This is the problem with WWE. You have old fucks like Bruce Pritchard who are so fucking out of touch, they think Pat McAfee's entertaining. I know that there are fucking people out there that think Pat McAfee's entertaining. I don't know what else they find entertaining, but I guarantee you it's not anything good. Fucking mark-ass, dumb-ass motherfuckers fucking entertained by Pat McAfee. No talent, boring, corny joke-having fucking kicker. Get the fuck out of here. Go kick a football. My God. He makes SmackDown so hard to watch, man. His commentary is the drizzling shits. He reminds me of The Miz. He's just, like, annoying. He's just a guy that constantly runs his mouth, doesn't say anything particularly interesting or insightful or funny or entertaining in any kind of way. He just constantly fucking runs his mouth. He doesn't stop talking, so WWE thinks, oh, this guy's a great talker. No, he just doesn't shut up. He's just a mouthy little bitch. Tired of these fucking guys. Pat McAfee, Madcap Moss, Rick Boogs. Fuck out of here with all those guys. The Miz, everybody.
Well, you don't have to worry. The Miz is gone still. Did he even get drafted, The Miz?
He's on Raw, isn't he? He's a Raw guy. He's dancing. Keep dancing, Miz. Dance forever. Dance yourself into a fucking Hollywood career. That's what you're trying to get. That's really what you're trying to use the WWE for anyways. Please get booked in a movie. Please make money in Hollywood and never come back to professional wrestling. Join your old buddy Dave Bautista on that road. I'm so glad Dave Bautista has a successful movie career so I don't have to ever see him wrestle again. You know what giving me what I want is? Not seeing Bautista ever again. His slow, clumsy ass in the fucking ring. Garbage-ass fucking wrestler. Couldn't lace Bret Hart's boots. Get the fuck out of here, Bautista. Guy sucks. I always sucked. Just like The Miz. Just like Rick Boogs. And the rest of these fucking jabronis in WWE. Couldn't lace Bryan Danielson's boots. Can't hold a candle to Kenny Omega. Fucking suck. Just the truth. It is what it is, John.
Well, so what else do you hate? It seems like you're just listing off all the things you hate.
I tell you who I don't hate. Jerry McDevitt. I love that guy. I think he's the best. I think he's tremendous. What a character.
Well, intelligent. Highly intelligent.
Yeah. Smart guy. What a lawyer. He really did a number on that... on that Dark Side of the Ring, the steroid trial. I thought that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that steroid trial episode, mostly because of Jerry McDevitt and seeing him speak and hearing how he got Vince out of trouble with the U.S. government. I loved it. I loved it. How he got Hulk Hogan not to testify in the Dr. Zahorian trial by saying, well, Hogan... you know, he consulted Zahorian for medical advice. So if you put him on the stand, you'd be violating his doctor-patient confidentiality. And that's not right for Hogan, who hasn't committed a crime here. You can't put him on the stand and expose himself and his own medical history. That's not fair. So Hogan didn't have to testify in the Zahorian case that the government was building. And Zahorian was a doctor who was selling drugs like steroids and other drugs as whatever, you know, basically a drug dealer doctor for the WWE and others in the bodybuilding, weightlifting world, sports world. The guy got around. And he definitely worked with the WWE and he definitely sold drugs to people in the WWE, including Hulk Hogan. But, you know, Jerry McDevitt was able to wrangle Hogan out of testifying there. Some other wrestlers for the WWF at the time did wind up testifying in the Zahorian case. They went through that. Then they also went through the Vince McMahon case that the U.S. government tried to put on Vince that ultimately failed because they said, you know, the government was trying to say that Vince was selling steroids to his guys or telling his guys that they had to be on steroids to work for him, which was not the case. And I believe that. I don't think Vince McMahon ever told anybody to do steroids. I think guys looked around and said, I better get on the gas so I can compete and keep my job. because Vince likes big guys. You see Hogan, you see Warrior, you see all the huge guys that get signed. You see guys that can't wrestle that get signed to the WWF for money, and they're huge. Well, it's like, well, what does this guy have? He's huge. Okay, he's getting pushed more than me, and I can wrestle. What should I do if I'm a killer bee? I should probably get more jacked so I get a little bit of a push ski here so I keep my job. It's not like Vince was telling them to do steroids. They looked around and said, okay, well, we gotta compete. And just as a man, if you're standing in a room and everybody's super jacked, you're like, man, everybody's super jacked. Seems like a good idea. What are you guys doing? You guys on steroids or something? Can I have some? I want to be super jacked like you guys because, you know, upper body business, brother. Got to look good. I mean, our whole job is walking around in tights with our shirts off, so I better look jacked like you guys, right? Vince didn't tell anybody to do anything, right? And I thought Jerry McDevitt did a great job. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Well, just remember, like, back in the 80s, like, steroids weren't perceived as, like, an illegal substance back then.
Yeah.
So for a lot of them, it wasn't a bad thing to do whatsoever. It's just come the 90s, the government tried to change all that, and they tried to use Vince as, like, the scapegoat pretty much for that.
That's right. And it didn't work whatsoever. And it shouldn't work. You can't make Vince a scapegoat. And even Hogan, who was with WCW at the time, he testified against Vince and said, you know, Vince didn't sell me steroids. Never told me to do steroids. Did I get steroids from Vince? Yeah. But we worked out together. Sometimes I gave Vince steroids. Sometimes he gave me steroids. It wasn't like he was selling them to me. He had some, gave them to me. I had some, gave them to him. Free exchange of steroids between buddies. Nothing wrong with that, necessarily. Well, not back then, anyways. It was legal at the time. They made it illegal, and then they tried to go after Vince by saying, oh, he's a drug dealer. But didn't work.
Say nothing wrong with that, but that's what Vince got mad about, because Hogan kind of admitted to everyone that Vince took steroids, so I don't think Vince liked that whatsoever, and apparently there was a bit of a grudge. Like, that's what I always heard about the story, that because Hogan testified against Vince and admitted that Vince took steroids, that Vince held a grudge against Hogan for that.
Yeah. Well, maybe he did. And you can understand that. Hogan didn't have to admit that, but, you know, whatever. He was questioned under oath, and he said what he said, but he didn't get Vince in any kind of real trouble. Vince didn't serve any jail time. Hogan didn't really bury Vince, but I don't think he had any reason to bury Vince, and I don't think he had anything to bury Vince with, because I don't think Vince ever, you know, did anything wrong in that respect. Vince has done some bad things probably in his life, but I don't think selling steroids to his wrestlers or telling his wrestlers that they had to be on steroids, I don't think that's something that Vince actually did. I just really enjoyed seeing Jerry McDevitt, the guy who's been the WWE's lawyer for over 20 years and, you know, worked them through the steroid trial, and he's just been with the company for so long, and you've heard the name so many times, and you rarely see him interviewed in this kind of format, and I thought it was really interesting to get his perspective. I really liked it. I liked this episode of Dark Side of the Ring, and that was the super finale. Chat. Antoinette dropping a super chat. She's saying that they save Roman for the dark match tonight. Huh. Interesting.
Wow.
So he was there.
That's a kind of waste.
Well, they had nothing.
Good for the live crowd, but.
They had nothing
not for
him to do. What's he going to do? He's still feuding with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's not showing up anytime soon. What's Roman going to do?
I mean, you could involve him with Heyman in some capacity. Could have been like, what were you saying there, Paul? I mean, really anything. You didn't have to do. If he's there, you could still use him for something.
Next week, he'll just be disappointed in the Usos for losing to the New Day tonight, right? That's what he does next week.
Probably Heyman. It was probably just him reacting to what happened last week.
Yeah. Great stuff. Great stuff. I didn't need to see Roman. Whatever. We could go without Roman for a week on TV. Makes Roman into a bigger deal if he's not on TV every week. Dark Side of the Ring, though, I thought it was all right. I thought it was a good episode. One of my favorites of the season.
It was a good end to the season, that's for sure. It's nice to see them do an episode where you got both sides of the story, because I feel like there's been a lot of trashing of WWE, and this time you actually got WWE side of the story.
Some of the characters that they brought out for this show, like that John Arezzi guy who said that WWE, he thinks WWE sent goons to his house to like intimidate him. What? Mm-hmm.
That's what he says.
Yeah. Come on.
But again, like, Jerry McDevitt had a very good response to that, though.
Yeah. I thought that was great. And this guy, I don't know, he just seemed like a strange character. He's living with his mother. He's like this wrestling reporter guy. He had quite a look to him, too, in the 80s or the early 90s, you know, with the sunglasses and the whole gimmick.
I think he may have wrestled at some point, to be
honest.
Did
he? He looked like a manager or something.
I think he's got some, well, you could tell he had heat with Vince, but I think he had heat with Vince before all that thing happened.
He seemed like a character. Of course, Dave Meltzer on the show. Good to see the, was that the Warlord?
It was.
My God. He's still kind of jacked, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know. Still work out. It's not going to go away.
That's right.
I mean, he's not as big. He's not as big as he used to be, obviously. Like, he's not in that, like, you know, He-Man shape anymore, but still good.
Can you get Warlord big without steroids?
I think for a lot of people, that was kind of the thing. It's like, can this ever be done naturally? And people always question Warlord. That's the one where it's like, I don't know.
That guy was gigantic. I think it was cool that they got him for the show because he's kind of like a poster boy for steroids in that late 80s, early 90s era.
Right.
And he was very honest. You know, he did steroids, but he didn't buy them from Dr. Zahorian because the prices were too high. I like that. Hogan could afford it, but Warlord, he got his stuff from somebody else, a little cheaper.
Interesting, it was Hogan and his wife.
Well, it didn't say his wife was on steroids.
His wife was getting something, though, apparently. She's getting her own, if you saw the list, like his wife was getting her own packages.
Huh. I wonder what she was getting. Maybe steroids, too. Who knows? Who cares? I don't really care what she was doing. Doesn't affect me whatsoever. Good episode. Dark Side of the Ring is over. SmackDown is over. Rampage is over. And this show right here is over. I'm ending it. Antoinette, you are the Super Chat leader of the night. You've done it. Where's Angelo? He must
First
be out
time
on,
ever, I think.
Must be out on the road tonight. Antoinette getting the win. Harold Schneider dropping a Super Chat as well. Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Brian Firth. Shout out to Brian. Shout out to Antoinette. Shout out to Harold. Antoinette, the Super Chat leader of the night. Shout out to Angelo. Be safe out there on the roads, my friend. And everybody else, you know. I'll be back here tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern time for the UFC 267 watch-along with AJ and Freddie. Right here on the Ringside Report Network. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, go to shop. Go to the shop, ringsidereport.net/shop. You can get our merch. You can get all sorts of deals on all sorts of good stuff over at ringsidereport.net/shop. Go there. Where's Doug Hepburn? Haven't seen him in a couple of days. Usually a regular. Haven't seen Doug. Where's Doug? Hope Doug's all right. Shout out to Doug.
It's Halloween weekend. I mean, I don't consider it a holiday, but for a lot of people it is.
All right. Well, there you go. Johnny, I'll see you again next week. And, of course, don't forget we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday after Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. and I will be here watching UFC 267 with you tomorrow afternoon. It's a 2 p.m. Eastern start time in Abu Dhabi. UFC 267, Glover Teixeira versus Jan Blachowicz. We will be here tomorrow afternoon watching the fights with you here on the Ringside Report Network.